RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I was thinking about coming out of the shoot here and telling y'all about my new boots that I got on, but y'all want to talk about puppy chow?
What is that, ostrich?
Hell no, it's python.
It's Sterney's Daily.
Before we get to that boner.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Yeah, it is, and it's a reaction Monday. And Dirty's Daily is powered by... I'm going to go NFL Plus, guys. I'm going to go NFL Plus today simply because NFL Plus, guess what they did, boys?
What did they do?
Guess what they did? They got the film out a little early. They got the All-22 out a little early. And I'm not gonna spill all the beans for Tape Drop Tuesday. We will absolutely do that tomorrow. But NFL Plus, big shout-out for getting that tape out early so I can get a little peek at what's going on here. And here's what I want to do for the people today, Ron. What I want to do for the people today. It's a reaction Monday, baby. And we got a lot of cussing and discussing to do. No doubt about it, about this football team. More discussing than cussing, but when the cussing happens, it's usually on the offensive side of the ball. But I do want to take a moment, and I want to tip my cap to one Nick Caley. I want to tip my cap to one C.J. Stroud. And I want to tip my cap to whoever... The offensive minds are in the building that are part of this collaborative effort that Nick Caley speaks of, because the two touchdowns, Ron, the two touchdowns, Houston, you're going to love this, by the way. The two touchdowns were clearly scripted plays. Absolutely. In this game. It was clearly something that somebody in the building over there saw on film. Jalen Knowles said as much in when he joined Sean Pendergast and I on the official Texans post-game show. And they called it. They executed it. It got us 14 points. And with our defense, more times than not, if you can get 14 first quarter points, it's going to be enough to get the W. And Houston, you're going to love this for many reasons. Beyond, it was exciting to watch. Beyond, our team won a game and we clinched a playoff spot. But Houston, you're going to love this because every fan I know is concerned about this offense when you get down to it. The majority of fans I've talked to have wondered why this hasn't happened or this doesn't happen or why does this, why that. I've talked about a million different things on this radio. And I'm going to tell you, Houston, them two touchdown plays, those two explosives, they consisted of things that we've discussed right here on this station. I'm going to start with the big throw over the top to Jaden Higgins. All right. The formation was tremendous. Ron, it was a trio bunch, which when trio and trips, the difference is trio is a three receiver bunch with a tight end opposite. So you got all three receivers to the left of the quarterback. In a bunch formation, cut split, you got, I think it was Dalton Schultz to the right of the quarterback, all right? So by formation, you've got Nico Collins in a little bit of a bastard look, a little bit of an unorthodox look. He's the tip of the trio formation to the left of the quarterback, right? So by formation, you force the defense to get out of sorts because they're trying to identify what's the strength of the formation? Where the hell is Nico Collins? We got to figure this thing out, right? So they're running around trying to figure things out because the formation was a little bit unorthodox, okay? Creative, exotic, if you will. right? And then, while they're trying to figure things out, I've been asking for motion, more motion, and like more true motion out of this offense all year long, right? Before they could figure out the alignment because of that formation, all of a sudden Christian Kirk goes in fast motion to the right. And this wasn't one of those jog over there, slow through the backfield, reset your feet like we typically see. This was a burst motion right now, fast, get across the line of scrimmage, and they snapped the football when he was full speed, right? So what happens is you got the defense already trying to figure things out formationally so they can get aligned and assigned to what the hell is going to go on. Then all of a sudden you get this motion that is not allowing for a lot of communication. Now you got the whole defensive secondary out of sorts of what the hell they're going to do, all right? So you used formation, moving Nico Collins, and you used fast motion. I feel like I beat that dead horse to death, all right? So Kirk goes in that fast motion, creates that extra panic. CJ snaps the ball with him in motion, all right? They're still scrambling in the secondary. And Nico Collins, because he's inside, he draws the inside safety down on him. The outside corner, I don't know if he looked like he expected help because he threw his hands up. But Higgins runs right by him. Yeah, 26,
he started looking behind him.
Yeah, walks in the end zone. The entire play is made because the formation and the motion. It was schemed. The scheme itself created confusion in the secondary, just like we've talked about a million times, and it created an explosive opportunity. I'm going to post that play right there on Twitter. And if anybody asks, Clint, what do you want to see? I'd love to support to be a long touchdown like that and a busted coverage like that every time.
Yeah.
But I want you to look at the chaos that it creates before the ball was ever snapped, right? It was absolutely beautiful. It is a tried and true example of why formations and motions and scheme before the ball's ever snapped matter.
But they clearly did their work.
Who?
To the Texans and their offensive staff, as you said. They
no question.
Clearly did that work to see that could be a look.
No question.
Third and one was the perfect timing to get that done, too. I think that played a role in it. But they clearly did their homework and watched
it. Yeah. It was absolutely beautiful, and it created an explosive. But the play was won. The points were scored. The touchdown was made because of the formation and because of the motion, the way it was executed. Now, I want to add this right here. You watch this play. There's another thing that I've been asking for, Ron. What did I recommend? See if you can get this. What did I recommend after the first week? Hell, we talked about training camp, too. What did I recommend that the running backs work on every day over there? And if you can't execute it, you're going to get kicked out of practice during training camp.
Oh, yeah. They're able to protect the quarterback.
Chips, right? I want them breaking ribs. Well, guess what Woody Marks does? Woody Marks is to the left of the quarterback. He steps to the left. Blake Fisher gets kind of chases that they do a little that little end first, and the tackle's going to scream around that big tart number 90, big tart screaming around the end right there, and Woody Marks lowers his shoulder and tries to break Tart's ribs. You watch Tart on the play. He collapses his ribs down, and then he turns, and as he's watching the football get caught and run for a touchdown, he's holding his rib cage, right? That's what the hell I'm talking about. Whether it's formations, motions, or the running backs and the tight ends chipping like grown-ass men, that's what we've been talking about, and the result is an explosive that ultimately is one of the reasons that you end up winning the game. Now, the second explosive touchdown, right? Now, this is damn sure one that you saw on film and you knew what you were going to get. By the way, I take a little pride in real time. Now, Noel couldn't see the whole field. He didn't see the play on TV. But I told Noel in the post-game presser that I believe that was a quarter halves look more so than a quarters look to hit. Definitely wasn't a quarters look to his side. So your boy QB was right once again. But nonetheless.
Set once again.
Come out in a 2x2 formation, right? You got Xavier Hutchinson and Nico Collins to your left. You got a tight end, it was Noel to your right. All right, so you got a little 2x2 formation working. Kind of some cut splits. Imagine that. You always get that, right? What they do is they motion X into the backfield. So Xavier Hutchinson into the backfield, snap the football, and they max protect. We're not going to let them pressure us. Now, the fact that we're max protecting against a true quarters or a quarter-quarter halves look is maybe a little bit suspect, but It was a game plan, scripted play. You knew what you were going to get. Clearly, you look up before the ball snapped. You know, okay, we're getting the look. Leave this thing on and let's hunt. They snapped the football. They got an eight-man protection, so you know the protection is going to be good. Nico Collins runs a one-man route to the left. That safety gets horny, and Jalen Noel runs the post over the top. That cover two safety that was outside of him and high over the top of him never had a shot. It was plain as day, throwing the ocean for the quarterback. It's what we – the part of this play right here that we've been asking for more of is simple. 1-4. It's simple.
Jalen Noel.
Everybody I've ran into, Ron, everybody, I think collectively in the Texans fan base at one point or another this year has been like, hey, man, can we get Jalen Noel on the field? Can we get Noel on the field? Noel's on the field. The defense jumps down on Nico, and they bang the post over the top for another throw in the ocean touchdown. So whether it's the player and Jalen Noel that we've been asking for, you got it in that touchdown. Or it were the scheme things that we've all been asking for. You got that in the first touchdown to Jaden Higgins. Now, beyond that, right, why do those types of plays and that type of aggression, why does it fall by the wayside as we move forward? As I said, I think there's many a reason. I think there's many a reason why that happens. And I'm not gonna guess. I think you got a defensive-minded head coach. I think you got an inexperienced play caller, and I think you got a quarterback that doesn't have complete control of the offense. I think those three things together equal we're going to play defense and we're going to be conservative on offense when everybody else thinks we should be all gas and no brakes, even when we get two explosives in the first quarter. I want you to listen to C.J. Stroud here. I want you to listen to C.J. Stroud here. At the very end of this audio, I think he tells us at least what the approach was in this particular game. I don't think he says why, but I think he tells us what the approach is. Here's C.J. Stroud after Saturday's win versus the Chargers.
Yeah, I mean, they play really a solid, you know, shell defense, you know, and kind of like the way the league is going on defense is like they're playing too high shell. You know, they're trying to, you know, take away your best guy. So we kind of knew that and, you know, came up with some good plays and designed some good plays just to pick on that. And, you know, got to just keep that going. You know, it can't just be in the first quarter. You know, it got to be throughout the whole game. So yeah, something we can learn from is, you know, is just keeping the gas on and making sure, you know, we're still calling it. I'm taking care of the ball and, you know, we're moving forward.
Keep the gas on. Make sure we're still calling it and make sure I'm taking care of the ball. Like I said, I don't know which party it is. I would imagine that it's all three of them of why.
This has got to be killing him.
Who, CJ? Yeah. Oh, no question. No question. I don't know why. I can't point fingers at one individual. I can't figure it out without – I'm not privy to the information. But whether it's D'Amico, Ryan, say, all right, enough's enough. You can't we can't trust you, CJ. You're turning the damn ball over. We got to be conservative. Or it's – Nick Caley just doesn't have the experience and the ability to design and call those kind of plays in the moment without them being on a script, right? He doesn't have the know-how and the ability to do that. Or C.J. Stroud just doesn't, for whatever reason, is not consistent enough in being able to protect the football and be aggressive. I've said this a million times, Ron, like whether it's C.J. Stroud, no matter who it is, right, unless you're an Aaron Rodgers or a Pat Mahomes or somebody like that that's won a bunch of Super Bowls, won a bunch of MVPs and seen every blitz and every pressure. Like, unless you're one of those guys, like when you get married up to a new offensive coordinator, like you've got to earn the quarterback I'm talking about. The quarterback has to earn the right to be aggressive at the end of the first half. The quarterback has to earn the right of the head coach to say, I know we got a great defense, but damn it, let me play. Like, you got to earn the right to be able to do those things. You got to earn the right to be that caliber of quarterback and for an organization to have that kind of belief and trust in you. And what we watched at the end of the first half, really all year long, but what we watched at the end of the first half with the interception and then the interceptions all while you have a lead, make of it what you will, but those are the types of moments that don't earn trust. Fair or foul, right? Whether you love it or hate it, a defensive-minded coach looks at that and you go, okay, we're going to be aggressive right here. Let's go get points.
Because he probably sits there and says the only thing that almost put us in jeopardy of
turnovers
was turnovers. Even though the turnovers really didn't hurt them
right
as much on the scoreboard.
Right.
But in his mind, that is, and you could see the potential, and I think we may have seen it in the second half, of if we are going to drop back, more safe throws, like Bam, Nico right now on slants or something like that. And you could see they tend to, at least they appear to tend to dial it back.
Right.
And we've seen it multiple times this year.
Well, anyway, I'll tell this quick story real quick, Ron. There was one time, and we were a pro-style offense in college, right? And this is my senior year, and we're going to play Kentucky. And Kentucky was notorious for playing all man. All they did was play man coverage for the most part, all right? And they didn't have the dudes to keep up. We were really deep at wide receiver. I had one really going, but I was really deep at wide receiver. So we talked Houston Nutt into, hey, man, let's go five wideouts early in this game and just blow the lid off of it. We got the dudes, man. And he finally, for one time, this had him for 2 years, finally he's like, you know what? All right, let's do it. I go out there, Ron. I throw a touchdown to one of my top receivers. I throw like a 60-yard touchdown against the man, exactly what we thought we was going to get. It gets called back for holding or pass interference or offensive pass or something. I can't remember what it was. It's called back, right? I throw a pick the next play. The next drive, we go out there. We sputter around a couple of drives. About the fourth drive of the game, I end up getting benched, right? Oh. We never go five wideouts again. We had our opportunity, right? We had a conservative-minded head coach. He was an offensive-minded head coach, but he was super conservative. We had our opportunity. We had the horses, and I screwed it up. We didn't perform and execute to show our coach, see, man, we're a good five-wide team. We gave him a reason to go, damn it, should have stayed in that run first, conservative, play defense, run first. I knew I should have stayed. Should have never trusted these guys. That's how it happens, right? For once, D'Amico said, hey, man, let's throw this thing right out the gate. Let's go. CJ, let's go. Well, this ain't no, we're going to run a couple plays, try to get a completion. No, let's go, man. What happened? Turn the football over. Now, luckily, like you said, it didn't hurt him, but it's one of them moments where I guarantee you D'Amico's like, shouldn't have done it. Should have just ran that thing a couple times, took that thing to half. Kept my lead. You know, you got to earn it, man. You got to earn it. And he had an opportunity. He and Nick Caley had an opportunity this week and didn't get it done.
All right, coming up as we continue, something else that happened this weekend, and I wonder if this will continue to happen at this time of the year every year the way we've been used to watching it. We'll discuss and let you in on what that is coming up.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we are live here on The Drive. And Clint, over the weekend, we looked at the... Look, the Texans react to the Texans and everything that happened there in the NFL. But college football was rolling. And I look at it, I see everything we saw this weekend. And my question are the bowl games dead? Are the bowl games dead in college football right now? Maybe I'm in the minority. Maybe many people were into it. I didn't give a rip about what was happening in these bowl games, Clint. And I know you said you think maybe it's turning around. But most of these games, teams aren't playing in it. That the same teams that we saw all season, because anybody with any kind of draft status step out. Most coaches, hell, on some of these teams aren't even playing in the game. But it just looks like the Gator Bowl used to be a big bowl. I didn't even know what happened. The people do the good job, as you said earlier, with the Texas Bowl. But, I mean, they had the NFL on Saturday at the same time of these games, Friday and everything. It just feels like, boy, these bowl games are taking a hit, man. And the only thing that's really remembered is the guy stuffing the Pop-Tart in his mouth and not as much as the game. It looks rough when we're not talking about those big seven bowl games.
Well, I think, Ron, I think at the end of the day, I believe that the days of when we were coming up, I think those days are over. I think the truth of the matter is the college football landscape has changed. And I think a big chunk of it, it'll actually get back and get better overall, just college football overall. I think they'll get some guardrails put on NIL. I think they'll get some guardrails put on this transfer portal. I think they'll get the college football playoff thing figured out. But bowl games will never be what they once were. Unfortunately, bowl games will never be what they once were. But I do believe the shock value, the sticker shock of a player, you know, getting hurt in a game or potentially getting hurt in a game, I think that's starting to wear off a little bit. I mean, the popular thing to do for these players, even if you're not a first-round pick, is to sit out. I think that is coming a little bit less of a trend in college football. I think it's more acceptable for I think college coaches are kind of finding their footing around NIL and transfer portal and this right here, this bowl game stuff of getting players to play. I think college coaches are more comfortable, you know, at least talking about, hey man, my players are all going to play because we're together, because we're accountable, because what we've developed all year long is this elite level of accountability and brotherhood and all that, and they don't want to not play in any game, even a bowl game that doesn't mean anything. They don't want to play in those games. So I think that the fact that coaches and people in general, right? I mean, when this all first started, like any coach that said, no, I want my players to play, they were pitted against mom and dad and the player's future and potentially getting hurt in an NFL contract. And nowadays, I just think it's a little bit more, I think, accepted's not the right word, embraced. I think a conversation about a coach that has his team and everybody wants to play, you can now have a conversation about it without feeling like you're disrespecting anybody that doesn't play, right? I think those days are over. So I think we're going to come back with bowl games, like I said, with NIL, like the transfer portal. I think we're going to all come back to a middle ground, and it's never going to be like it once was, but I think it'll all come together, and I believe that it'll all be acceptable. Now, it's never going to be acceptable for the get-off-my-lawn guy that wants college players to not be paid and wants coaches not to be able to leave and all of that kind of stuff. Like, it's never going to be good for that guy or back to satisfactory for that guy. But I think they're going to find a middle ground on all of this stuff. And I think bowl games survive. I think kids get the right to transfer. And I think players can make money just like the coaches and the athletic directors and everybody else involved in college football do as well. I think bowl games will follow that trend.
Yeah, I just wonder, just like it just seems clearly now with the playoff that's jumped in, the more you've added teams, and now all those other games matter. Because when it was four, you know, those other ones still matter. But like Texas and Michigan are going to play in the Citrus Bowl. Like, I wonder how many people are like, I got to get to that. Like, I gotta watch that.
Have you seen, and this is a serious question because I haven't watched this. This is probably, I mean, good for the conversation, or not great for my point, but good for the conversation. I haven't watched a ton of it. Have we seen, like, I remember the last, say, call 4 years. Like, I remember it being the headline story of, hey, man, half the damn team ain't playing.
Yeah, yeah. No,
like, is that still like, is Texas and Michigan going to deal with that?
I don't know if they are. We'll see. But LSU had a lot of guys out. Any of the – well, hell, like, some of these teams just didn't even play.
Right.
Like, Notre Dame just set to hell with it. Iowa State didn't play. Now, they were having – it was done because of the coach transition. But it just seems like more and more they don't.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Ron, and I know
– and it is –
well, this is why, Ron, I bring the NIL and transfer portal into it, right? I do believe as the NIL and the transfer portal kind of they get some guardrails on it and we get into the where it's going to end up living. And I don't know when or how, but I think it does get back there. When it does, Ron, I think we are going to be back closer to, not the way it used to, but we're going to be back closer to the coaches that can recruit and develop high school players, I think are going to have a real advantage. And that's why I go back to, you know, bowl games are fun and all. It's great. But what makes bowl games special is your 6-win teams or 5-win teams this year that qualify for a bowl game, you now get 13, 12, 13, however many practices it is. I don't know. It used to be 12. I don't know what it is now. But you get those practices, 2 weeks extra of practice, really, to get your young guys the development that they need, man. And that seems
to have gone by the wayside, too, though. There's some teams that choose not to do it and had a chance. 5-win teams. Hell, Kansas. Yeah. The team, they decided to not accept it.
Yeah.
I
can understand the coach change. I can understand the injuries. Anything beyond that, like if you still have your head coach or if you lost your head coach mid-year and now you've had an interim to now and you could play this thing out, I don't understand not doing it. I mean, the joy of the game, the experience for the kids, the development of the young guys, I don't know but a handful of organizations that don't need that. They don't need that desperately.
This to me, it's got to be feeling like more of a waste of money than it is. Like for these different different bowl games and how many people are watching these games. Like I think the Music City Bowl is tonight. I'm not going for that. It's up against Monday Night Football too.
Yeah.
I'm not going for that. All right, coming up as we continue, remember, we're out early as the coaches show follows us. T-Mills Best Bets. We'll get that going as a Monday Night Football. I'm sure we'll show a lot there, and we'll continue to look at this Texans team. They got a big W on the road and clinched its spot in the playoffs. All of that as we continue right here live.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in on a Reaction Monday and a Victory Monday. And obviously, as you know, on a Monday during a football season, we are out early and we turn things over to D'Amico Ryans as the coaches show comes up right after we get done. Mark Vandermeer, John Harris will be along for the ride as well. But the coaches show with D'Amico Ryans coming up in about 15 minutes. So stay tuned for that. Coming up behind them, 7 o'clock. Monday Night Football. I believe this is the final Monday Night Football of the season. The Rams and the Falcons. The Rams still, I believe, have a chance, potentially a chance to get the number one seed as they want to keep winning. But they'll be in Atlanta tonight to take on the Rams. That is going to be heard live right here on Sports Radio 610, courtesy of Westwood One. So stay tuned for that. T-Mill's Best Bets coming up here momentarily, as I'm sure we'll see a lot from Monday Night Football going to that game. Somebody text in, U of H and LSU was a full house this weekend, and it was a blast. Yes, Clint said earlier, some of these, the Texas Bowl does a really good job, and they especially are able to do a really good job when they get the right teams kind of in the same space, right? It's been A&M, which is a good place for Houston. It's been U of H, LSU, I think Oklahoma State, A&M played 1 year. It's a good spot. But, you know, like some of these are not teams that travel. And I think the give a rip is going to, frankly, be less of fans, right?
Well, you know, but you think about it. Like, I think that, like I said,
but they do a great job over there. Well, some of the Bulls do.
They've embraced it. They do a tremendous job. It's in a great city. People want to come here. And like you said, they've done a great job. I mean, it's all schools right here that have great travel, fan bases that travel. Arkansas played Texas 1 year. Oklahoma State played Baylor 1 year. I'm sorry, no, who was that? I saw A&M play Oklahoma State, I believe, and Baylor played, and it was Vanderbilt before Vanderbilt was doing what they're doing right now. But the point is one, if not both schools have, from a proximity standpoint, are going to sell a boatload of tickets. Right, and so they do a really good job of. I mean, like you guys,
and they've done a great job of avoiding the West Virginia Missouri matchup,
right?
Where it's, as you said, it's always somebody that's
well, you're just. I think what you're going to see with bowls is the better bowls are going to be bowls that, yes, they have good teams, but it's good teams that at least their state touches the state you're in. You know what I mean? And so it's just. I think it's just going to change. Like the thought of like for instance like a what everybody believes is a subpar Michigan team. Where are they playing that game? The
Citrus Bowl? It's
in Orlando, right? I mean, which Michigan may travel, but you get my point. You got a Michigan team and a Texas team playing in Orlando. Now, both of those teams may travel. I don't know what it's going to look like, but like that would be a much better game if it were the Alamo Bowl in San Antonio, obviously. Yeah. I mean, so you'd sell a boatload of tickets to Texas fans that just want to go. Watch their team play in San Antonio kind of deal, right? Close proximity, easy to get to. Most people can drive. So I think the landscape will change, but I think the top bowls that actually still try will be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, like this Sun Bowl, baby. Arizona State, Duke, and El Paso. Oh, boy.
We just got done with
Arizona
the Birmingham
State
Bowl.
Get there, man. How about?
I know they can get there.
Will they?
They can. They got. Let me say this. They got an easier shot to get there than the people from Durham, but I'm not sure. Not sure. I don't know how hopped up these USC fans are to go to San Antonio for the Alamo Bowl, but we'll see. All right, real quick before we get to T-Mill's Best Bets, Clint, anything that you learned from this Texans team as they win another road game against the Chargers this week?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely some things that we learned. I mean, the Wallace kid is good depth at safety. I mean, he did. I'm not going to go overboard and talk about how great he played. I think he did some good things and showed the ability to obviously gain the trust of the coach and get the run at safety. So you got another safety, there in the mix. I think offensively, I think the biggest thing here. Is offensively what we've seen be a disaster in the past was not a disaster this time. What I mean by that was when you didn't have Titus Howard on the inside and or Trent Brown and Ariante Ursery on the outside, anything other than those three things being truce on the offensive line, it's been ugly. It's been a disaster, right? And so the fact that now you can go both tackles out, so Titus Howard has to move to tackle, Blake Fisher in, Jarrett Patterson in, at left guard, and you give up no sacks. And really, they played a pretty good game other than, obviously, the pressures. And I don't know if that's OC, quarterback, O-line. I don't know what the hell that is. But, like, the O-line depth that you gained this week, to me, was huge. I mean, Blake Fisher playing well and not giving up any sacks and being the highest graded offensive lineman in a game at left tackle is huge for him, man. He has had as rough a year as anybody out there. I know he's been this little sixth offensive lineman package thing, and he's gotten a lot of attention because he checks in with the ref every damn play. But the reality of it is
he does.
He had as bad a spring as a training camp as anybody out there. And so Blake Fisher being able to legitimately play left tackle against a good defense and hold up was big time. Titus Howard being able to move back to right tackle, going from not only to guard but to tackle, not only left but to right, and play well was big time. Jarrett Patterson, once again, the interior offensive line, I think with Jarrett Patterson, golly, what's going on with Juice Scruggs, but Jarrett Patterson being a depth guard, I'm pretty confident in this offensive line with him in there. So, you know, I think the O-line that has been really good since Trent Brown entered the fold about 6 weeks ago, however, 7 weeks ago, however long ago it was, you know, to now, I was confident in five guys. I mean, now you've inserted, really, Titus Howard again, but you've inserted eight guys now that you feel like it give you a pretty good chance.
All right, we'll talk more about that the rest of the week as they prepare to play the Colts and get ready for the postseason. Let's get to T-Mill's Best Bets. Monday Night Football action tonight. Remember, if you need to look at these again before placing those bets, head to at T-Mill Real Deal. What you got tonight, Tyler?
Yes, sir. Monday Night Football, as Ron said, last one of the year. Rams, Falcons, here are your four best bets for Monday night. Very quickly here, under in this game. Two of them, actually. Under 49.5 is the total I got, and I'm on that. I'm also on the under for the first quarter alone, which is set at 9.5 points. I'm on under 9.5 in the first quarter. And then two player props for you, both play for the Atlanta Falcons. First, Kirk Cousins, quarterback for Atlanta, over 222.5 passing yards. Think he's going to have to be throwing a lot. Think he's going to be playing from behind a lot tonight against the Rams as they try to get that number one seed. And then Bijan Robinson, the running back for the Falcons. This is absolutely, Ron, my favorite one of the night.
That's easy money.
Last game, I think he had 7 or 8 receptions, but over 4.5 receptions for Bijan tonight and the Atlanta Falcons. Those are your four best bets.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Yeah, Bijan Robinson, that's clear with Kirk Cousins. We'll see. He's probably going to have a lot of attempts. I feel like Kurt's going to be on his ass a lot tonight as well.
You like
with
that?
With that Rams defense.
Do the Rams still have a shot at the number one seed?
Yes.
I think they do, yeah.
Boy, they're playing for it, boys. I believe they need...
Now, the Niners and Seahawks control their own destiny because they play each other next week.
Well, so one of those teams has to win, so if they win, they get the one seed. Were the Rams eliminated with last night's game?
I'll have to check on it. I think
all their starters are going.
I think the Rams are tied with this. No, I don't. Yeah, maybe you're right.
Well, but where I was going with that is the Rams are still playing for something. Boy, I'm gonna tell you. I mean, Puka Nacua and what's my man's name? Looking at number 9 right there.
Quarterback for the Rams. Matt Stafford.
Stafford. Well, I don't know how the hell that one slipped. I'm looking at him dead in the face right here.
Yeah, girl.
They're gonna be on one tonight, boy.
Thanks, Kelly. Yeah, they got a big.
Anybody talking to you, Kelly?
She stepped in. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. D'Amico Ryan's the coach's show coming up behind us. I am Ron. The show is always Houston. Happy birthday, Clint.
Yeah, man.
We love you, baby. I get the feel. One, Lamar is not going to be 100% white, right? And when you talk about
he's not going to be 100% white.
When you talk about a back injury,
that would be Lamar. closer to white with a back injury. I promise you that.
He'll be closer to Cooper Rush.
It'll be the closest Lamar ever been to it.
To white.
Tyler, I love you too, man. You so H-Town.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.